Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July to you. I am here, as always, broadcasting live every Saturday because this is at least one of my favorite hours per week. Happy 4th to you. I thought I did this show enough times, but I'm going to do it again because you learn something different every time because you need to hear it again. The fatty plaque in your arteries, can you possibly melt it away? Now, you got to understand the significance of this, the deep reaching significance of this show today, in that how many people each year either die under the knife, have massive sudden heart attacks out of nowhere, or get the quadruple bypass surgery and are forevermore debilitated in some way, shape, or form, which in the cost-benefit of it, of course, is okay because you were going to die otherwise. But let's take a look at these people 2, 3, 5, 10 years before these incidents happen and ask ourselves, as, you know, often they're aware that the plaque's just building, but they're told, well, you can't do anything about it. Change your diet. And they never quite get straight. And with all the debates, endless amount of debate about what to do about it, nobody seems to do enough about it. And still, each year, about 40% of disease is related to coronary disease. Now, if that's not you, it is you. Now, why am I saying that? Not to be sensational. Meaning, if you're 30 years old and you don't have, as you shouldn't, any concern about coronary blockages, what you have to understand is by the time you're 50, if you've got 20% of your arteries plaqued, you are going to be told it's fine. You're normal. And you guys out there, the geriatric crowd, over 60 years old, over 70 years old, 80 plus, when you're told you're fine, on any of these tests, from the coronary calcium scan to the carotid ultrasound to even the angiogram, you have to understand the faux pas here. The delusion. You're being told you're normal because compared to everybody else, it's normal for you to have 3/4 of your arteries plaqued. All right, this is stupid, and this has to be understood. You can't afford to have any blood supply blocked, any percentage. Do you want 20% less oxygen flowing to your brain after the age of 60? After the age of 20? Do you want 10% less? See, and this is the thing. A lot of times when you go to these hospitals and under this wonderful managed care system we're evolving, right, social medicine on the way, what you've got now, despite what certain parties are telling you, what you've got are cost-cutting analyses that are lethal. I mean, it's gone to a whole other level. And what you're going to be told in the name of your normal is simply because we don't want you to cost the state any money. And to this notion about, well, you're 30% plaque, but on the form after the carotid ultrasound, we're going to put normal. And instead of giving you percent occlusion to your arteries, percent occlusion, now we give you numbers to confuse you even more. So this is a mess. It's a rat's nest of nonsense. And the way you should think about it, the way you should think about coronary heart disease, the way you should think about anything, stroke, coronary heart disease, circulatory disorders, blockages of any kind for any reason, whether it's in the coronary arteries or in the arteries to your foot, what you have to think in terms of is just the way you think about those gallbladder flushes. You have a bunch of bile veins that go into microscopic diameters. And those veins in your liver that flow bile need to be cleaned and swept clean. Antiseptic clean. And this is the way you think about all the arteries in your body. And if you do that, well, then you're not just talking about plaque, the fatty plaque or the calcific plaque in the name of coronary artery disease or stroke. You're talking about it in terms of your health. And that's the thing. The repercussions of denying your brain 20% less oxygen through the carotids, the repercussion of that is enormous. It cascades into a million other problems. Everything connects to everything. No symptom is a symptom. A symptom is the end product of a thousand failures of the body to compensate you so you wouldn't get the symptom. So by the time you get the symptom, there's already lots of defective mechanisms in action. And you'll see by the time we get through the do's and don'ts of melting plaque in your arteries, which, yes, you can melt. This is another thing that just it astounds me. Okay, I'll get a little cliche-ish. Our founding fathers would have created another American Revolution and ousted out whatever version of King George exists today. And that is the absolute truth, because you were being lied to and fed a lot of garbage propaganda by different medical communities. And it's not just an overt lie, it's the lie of omission. Omission. If you're 60 years old, if you're 70 years old, you want to know how much plaque is in your arteries. And we have tests that are highly suggestive of this. And when you're in those end stages where you're 80% plus occlusion, rather than wait until you're an accident, you ought to be told unanimously, melt the plaque or you're dead, or you're going to get hurt, or you're going to go down, or you're going to regret it. And everybody ought to be holding hands and telling you effectively, gently, respectively, but the same thing. Mr. Smith, the coronary calcium scam. Right, the CT scan of the heart, cross-section, I have it on the show today, we'll talk about it, is telling you that your calcium score suggests that you've got to have a fair amount of calcific plaque in your left anterior descending, or your circumflex artery, but classically it's the LAD, the left anterior descending, artery of the heart. And Mr. Smith, based on this, and the fact that you're 65, by the time you're 75, you're in the zone of danger. You're going to be. So rather than sit back, not tell you, not emphasize it, wait for that moment where you get bad signals and through the grace of God get rushed to the hospital, and then they just say, look, we're going to vasodilate you, but within a week you're going to need to do the quadruple bypass or the bypass. And once you get these bypasses, it's just you're not the same. You have to understand that too. You got to understand the slant. From the medical doctor's perspective, when you get a life-saving procedure, what you do in his mind is exalt the beauty of high Western science. And in a sense, that's correct, right? When a loved one is tragically and suddenly ill and you get rushed to ER and you get a crackerjack of an internist and a crackerjack of a cardiac surgeon, when you get the ace in the hole you're looking for, because at least at one time your insurance bought you good medical care, you're thankful, and the doctor's thankful, and everybody claps, and that's true, and we shouldn't knock that. But the bottom line is this. Why did you wait? Where was the unanimity? And in the hoopla of we saved a life, and we shouldn't deny that, right? But within the hoopla of we saved a life is the bottom line. You're never going to be the same. It's going to be very difficult to be the same after a quadruple bypass. You know, I cite President Clinton, ex-President Clinton, as a wonderful example of this. Here's a guy, I mean, politics aside now, this guy had it going on. He was handsome, charming, he was witty, he was a capable politician, no one can deny that part of it. He built the economy, he knew how to move the ball. If you look at Bill Clinton, 5 years before that surgery, and 5 years after that, you're looking at two different human beings. Now, there's a president, ex-president of the United States, the best medical care money can buy. First question, why wasn't he told? Dear Bill, Joe cardiologist, you're dead soon if you don't change your ways. I can guarantee you it wasn't put that way. I can guarantee you Bill Clinton would have done it differently. Who wants what he's gone through? Just look at him. He turned from a vibrant middle-aged man into a little old man. And this is what happens with these surgeries, and you can't knock the surgery because it saves a life. At the same time, they're not going to tell you you're never going to be the same. When you start putting stents in, when you start getting these bypass surgeries, when you even have to get an angiogram, when you go through the myriad, when you go on the different drugs after you have congestive heart failure, so on and so forth, your life changes. And we call that aging. And see, that's the propaganda. So no matter who you are, there is so much to gain by understanding the wherewithals of melting that plaque. Now, I think that was worth 10 minutes, don't you? Here's to our founding fathers. They wouldn't have put up with it. Neither should you. All right. The concept here. By the way, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. If you're new to the show, you've got to get on the website. That website, of course, straighttalk.cc, not .com, two T's. Look at the pictures. Let's go. You've got to understand what we mean by plaque. So you don't sit there. This is one of the most confusing yet easy to understand topics. And yet there are so many opinions. And if you just understood it, you can integrate all these opinions. I'm not confused, never have been, because I understand the science. So should you. All right, let's start. You're on the site. I want you to go to picture number 9. Please go to picture number 9. Now, before you faint, you may have fainted already. Thump, thump. Take a look at this picture. Good. Picture number 9. Endothelial cell in the inside of your arteries. They're made of cells. Those cells, the inner lining, are called endothelial cells. You can see a picture of them. Now, what happens? These cells are like any cell. They have a membrane, and that membrane gets pecked away. It gets pecked away and pecked away and pecked away. And the cells inflame because they get pecked away. Now, I'm skipping some steps, or we'll be here for 500 hours. But the point is, this should appeal to your common sense. Something pecks away at the skin of the endothelial cell. High blood sugar, high insulin, the chemicals from smoking, the chemicals from pollution, the chemicals from stress, just the overall free radical, oxygen-driven chemical in the blood. In other words, oxidative stress. Now, I know most of you understand that. If you don't, that's just a Pac-Man that eats the inside shell of your arteries that just happens to be oxygen-driven, meaning oxygen without an electron. It's really hungry and looking to satisfy itself by taking a munch out of the cell membrane of your endothelial cell. Now, it's simple. You can have a third grade education, and if you speak English, you can understand that. There's a lot of things that create these Pac-Men, but let's skip that now. That Pac-Man eats out your endothelial cell. The spaces between the endothelial cells begin to expand. The spaces expand. And once the spaces expand, cholesterol, which we'll get to, the classifications of cholesterol, LDL, IDL, VLDL, cholesterol, low-density lipoproteins. Those things, if they're oxidized, meaning if they're already sticky, and we'll get to that, but just get the big picture here. Once the free radicals split open the spaces between the endothelial cells, these cholesterol particles, LDL variants, slip in. And that's what you're looking at in picture number 1. Excuse me. In that picture, number 9 this is now. Okay, you're looking at picture 9. At the bottom there's numbers. And you're looking at the column number 1. And those little LDL particles have snuck in there. They're not supposed to be there. The little LDL particles are not supposed to be there. Now here's the interesting part. Go to column, you're looking at the same picture, picture number 9. Go to column 2. Go to the top where it says monocyte recruitment. Monocyte recruitment. Guess what? The monocyte follows the LDL particle. Now, what's a monocyte? Well, I'm going to show you what the big brother of the monocyte is, which is the macrophage. Keep number 9 in your mind. Now look at picture 7. That's a macrophage, a baby. That's an adult monocyte. It's a variation. That's what that monocyte's going to become, a macrophage. You see that macrophage? It's like the death ship, but it's a good guy. It's looking for things to scavenge, to eat. Now look at the next picture. Fascinating stuff. Picture number 8. Look at that macrophage sticking a tentacle out to eat a bacteria. These things are like the police department. They're like vacuum cleaners. If the police department were macrophages, they'd hunt for robbers, see a robber, and basically, instead of arrest one, eat one. We could reduce crime by cannibalizing criminals. And that's really what a macrophage is. They cannibalize. They eat in conjunction with other immune system cells. They eat everything that's not supposed to be there. And one thing that's not supposed to be there is oxidized LDL in that space now. In what space? Well, didn't I just say that because of the endothelial damage, the LDL, the cholesterol, seeps in between the spaces? It's not supposed to be there. And because it's not supposed to be there, those monocytes follow them right in and become macrophages and then attack to eat. Now, look at that column there, column 2. So you're still on picture 9, column 2, and you're relaxing behind all this incredible science that I've reduced to perfect common sense, which is how you heal. That's how you heal, using your common sense and forgetting this myopic notion that only people with credentials have brains. You know, this is the fault of our society. Credentials mean brains. Credentials don't mean brains. They don't. Just ask Steve Jobs and Tesla. Just ask Edison. Just ask a lot of people about what credentials in the end are worth. You have as much credential to understand this as any MD, PhD in the world. You just got to know how to think. Believe me, this is a pet topic of mine. So that monocyte sinks in. You're in column number 3 here, column number 2, and that monocyte turns green. It's a macrophage that's ingested this, and then we call it a foam cell, which just means it's created all sorts of other chemicals. It's produced cytokines and all sorts of other chemicals. And what we're triggering then in the tunica intima, in other words, what we're triggering in this new space is this war. It's a riot. It's an absolute riot. It's a nut house. It's like when you're on the freeway and there's a massive traffic jam and you look down the street as far as you can and you see 15 cop cars and you go, oh, man. And then everybody sits outside on top of their car because they've been sitting there in traffic for like 2 hours and nothing's moving and everyone's looking at each other. And in New York, then everyone decides to have a riot and it's just a traffic jam. Right. That's what's going on. In what space? Not in your blood. In the wall of the artery. And where that green thing is there, that's the wall of the artery. That's the tunica intima, tunica media, excuse me, of the artery. It's the elastic place. It's the thick, meaty part of the artery. Or thereabouts. Don't want to get too technical. At any rate, this war is going on there, and those green things are now monocytes turn to macrophages, turn to foam cells, and that's the word you see attached there, foam cell. Now, once that foam cell's hanging out there, now I want you to go all the way over to picture number 6, to column 6. So you're on the same picture, picture 9, and you're swinging your eyeballs all the way to the right to column number 6. Now, look at this. Look at all those foam cells, and now look at all, because of all this inflammation, all the LDL cholesterol, those little yellow balls that have seeped in there, and this plaque is beginning to form. Now, that plaque can just be fat, or that plaque can be fat covered with calcium, and that has to do with other factors in your blood chemistry and in your genetics. So you may be forming fatty plaque or calcific plaque. All calcific plaque has fat, but sometimes your plaque has no calcium or minimal, it's just fatty plaque. So that's the distinction there, and that has repercussions, but we'll get to that later. The point is from what you can see from this picture, you're building out now this massive congestion of fatty plaque mixed in with these foam cells that were once monocytes in your blood that have migrated to the area that eat this stuff. They're coming after it. You're giving them a reason to create this plaque. Guess what? If we could go in there and pull out the macrophage, you wouldn't have any plaque. Guess what? That's true. Guess what? If we could strengthen the endothelial cell lining, if we could make it immune to free radical damage, you wouldn't have any plaque. Guess what? If we had something once the plaque forms to eat the plaque as fast as it forms, you wouldn't have any plaque. There's lots of ways to interrupt this mechanism. And that's good because you've got multiple approaches then. But it's also bad because you see what we do then without the understanding. I want you to get this. If you get this, light a cigar. Happy Fourth to you. Boy, Fourth of July, so different out here in Los Angeles next to New York 30 years ago. We used to duck and hide on July 4th from the number of maniacs that were shooting off cannons in the neighborhood. I'm talking about sticks of dynamite. You know what the M80 is, right? Well, pop eight of those simultaneously under a garbage can and have a nice day. I mean, it's so different out here. It's like a fizzle out here. I'm not complaining. But this bomb that erupts, like the 4th of July bomb, it can be intercepted in many, many, many ways. But you have to understand the mechanism so that somebody, when they drop in and they say, this is what fixes it, this is it, this fixes it, you can have a much deeper understanding because you need to, or you're not going to see the delusion somebody's selling you. You're not going to fix this. And can you melt it? Yes. Unequivocally, when you hear doctors say plaque melts, it melts. And this has been studied and measured, and we know it. You have plaque, you can melt the plaque. But nobody should be telling you, here, take this herb because it's going to melt your plaque. And then you check in 4 months and go, gee, Joe, the plaque didn't melt. I guess that was a lie. Do not do that. You hear me harp on this all the time. The purpose of the herb is to accelerate. It's to embellish. It's to add to. It's to augment. Processes, multifaceted processes, which invariably incur big lifestyle changes, where you recruit many variables at once to melt plaque. Then plaque melts. So when somebody comes with a statin drug and it doesn't work, the holistic people say, well, those statin drugs don't work. Do you want to lower cholesterol to melt plaque? Yes, definitely. In theory, without side effect, which is the point, a statin drug is great because it will lower your cholesterol. And less cholesterol means less plaque. Done, sorry. Holistic people, wrong. Wrong. Wrong to say lowering cholesterol isn't important. But here's the point. Okay, you got to stretch your head now. Just because you're lowering cholesterol does not mean you're going to melt plaque. Lowering cholesterol is one important approach in conjunction with other vital approaches to melting plaque. This is difficult for people to get because everybody wants that one thing. Took the statin drug, doctor said I'm fine. I don't have to think about it. Took the heart medicine, took the herbs for the heart, took the garlic, took the cayenne, took the hawthorn berry. My heart's good. Don't have to think about it. I exercise. Hey, I jog on the track. My percent body fat is low. I don't have to worry about it. See, this is the thing. This is ignorance. People that do one thing, two things, that don't understand the mechanisms at hand are functioning ignorantly. No one likes to be called ignorant. There's no better word because it's ignorance. At least if you're ignorant, know that you're ignorant. Say, I'm ignorant. Say, I know I have my version of what it is to run a business, or I have my version of what it is to have a marriage, or I have a version of what it is to raise children, but I know I don't know anything. Do that. because you'll be smarter if you do that. But don't say, I take some heart complex from some company and I know, therefore, I'm fine. I'm on my statin drugs and my cardiologist, who hasn't tested me for anything except LDL, says, well, your cholesterol's a little high. Take the statin drug, you're fine. Don't do that. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, asking you to get smarter on Independence Day. Our forefathers were rocket scientists, every one of them. Washington, Jefferson, Adams. You constitutionalists out there, I salute you. Declaration of Independence, the American Constitution. Believe me, these guys weren't too placked when they wrote those charters. You had to have sharp minds, and they did, because they ate real food. Where do you get real food? Unfortunately, it isn't Whole Foods, but that's not a politically correct statement, so I can't say that. Right? You got to be positive. We're positive here. Just keep eating Whole Foods. If you can get to your farmers markets, go to your food co-ops. Know your local farms. Grow your own food. Protect your rights via the Constitution to grow your own food. We just lost a certain right, right? It's like the right to refuse vaccines. What is going on? Gee, it doesn't affect me. I know it doesn't affect me. I'm older. I'm not in school. I don't need vaccines. No one's going to make me get one. Think about it. Happy 4th. All right. Let's keep going. The causes. So you got this big bomb. You know what? We're still on picture number 9. Isn't that good? Look at all that fat. Look at all those green foam cells. Now, this is what starts to happen. That area bubbles out. We may have to go to another picture for this. That area bubbles out. That area that you're looking at, go to picture 28 now. Picture 28. Picture 28. Look at that picture. You might have to make it a little bigger. That plaque now has bubbled out through the endothelial layer. So go back to picture 9. Don't blow up picture 9. Or maybe you should blow it up. That plaque, just picture it. It bubbles out. It pushes through the endothelial layer. All those yellow circles bubble out, push through the endothelial layer. The endothelial layer contains it. The endothelial layer, that string of those cells, contains the bulging plaque. Better yet, and this is where the calcific plaque is a little less dangerous, the calcium layer over the fatty layer or integrated into the fatty layer protects it from breaking or hemorrhaging. Once that bulge breaks through, rather than bulges out, but breaks through, we're on picture 9. Once it breaks through that endothelial layer, you have a hemorrhaging. The guts of all that fatty garbage spill into your blood. Once that happens, you have a mess. You have an absolute mess. You have occlusion. You have occlusion. You have an inflammatory response. All that blowback into your bloodstream causes the immune system. So go to picture number 28. All that blowout into the arterial space, into the hole in the space in your arteries, the lumen of your arteries, the inside of the tube. All that explosion into that creates an immune system response on top of the immune system response. And then the arteries getting really occluded, which slows down what? The ability of the red blood cells to get through. And once you clump up red blood cells because you've occluded them, now the red blood cells start to form a clot. So if somebody says to you the plaque does not cause the heart attack, it's the clot. That's what they mean. The plaque doesn't form. If your red blood cells would not clot up as that plaque wall begins to occlude, if you were 75% occluded in your coronary artery, but your red blood cells passing through that little slit because it's occluded, if those red blood cells didn't clump, stick to each other, create a clot, you'd never have a heart attack. There'd be no such thing as heart disease. You could be 80% occluded, and those red blood cells would just say, all right, boys, let's just slow it down. We'll go through one by one. And each would go through, and maybe you couldn't sprint around the block, but you just have to rest for a little while. And then once everybody flowed on through, you could keep going. Now, metaphorically, satirically speaking, that's the way it would work. But literally, it's almost like that. If you could just make sure those red blood cells didn't stick to each other in that occluded space after the plaque ruptures, you'd still be good. That's why they give you blood thinners. The theory is with blood thinners, what's in the blood, the platelet, won't clump up and add to the rupture. You see? So think of the medical model. Statin drug to lower the cholesterol. Why? Because then that plaque's going to build slower because there's less cholesterol. So when doctors say take statin drugs, it lowers your cholesterol, that will help your heart disease. They're right. They're correct. They are correct. Look, you guys, I'm prepping you for the vaccine show that we do. We're going to do a vaccine show fairly soon. We're researching the ins and outs, ups and downs, history, the rights, the wrongs, the lefts, the rights. You've got to understand why you're being told, what you're being told, so you can evaluate it critically, objectively, because then you can argue it. Otherwise, it turns into a riot. And unless you plan on using nukes, you're going to lose in a riot. You've got to win the war on words, and you got to move the political system, which means you have to have education. We have firsthand information that most of the politicians, many of them, that voted the vaccine bill in lately, this last state thing, I'll bet you Jerry Brown doesn't understand a hundredth. How does a governor take the time to understand what he's signing into law? He's listening to advisors who are listening to people, and those people are only presenting one side. So you got to understand that the war on words, when it works against holistic interests, the war on words is being won simply because the people arguing holistically don't have education. And this is what effectively I'm trying to do with this show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. Hear an objective side packed with as much science, but with lots of common sense. You see, the common man, we're all common men. I may know a lot about science, I don't know so much about being an accountant. You may know a lot about law because you're a lawyer and nothing about science. We're all common men. And that's why we have to use common sense. And when common sense is not the integer through which all people are connected over topics, when common sense dies in the name of credentials and in the name of literature and the name of peer-reviewed studies, we as a nation have stopped thinking. And that's the problem. The tech world honors science. The tech world honors, well, it's on the internet. And this is all not what thought is about. Straight Talk on Health, this show, is about appealing to your common sense. So here's some common sense. Statin drugs are good in theory. The reason they're not good is the side effects. The reason there's much better ways to lower your cholesterol. Giving someone Coumadin or warfarin to thin out the blood is a great idea because it means there's less clumping after that endothelial wall ruptures and that plaque starts to occlude the artery in a serious way. So stopping that issue of clumping is great. But there's other ways to do it. There's issues with blood viscosity. Is how do you keep the blood thin in the holistic sense? And if you're listening and saying, well, how do you do that? I've got 214 shows. Listen to any of my shows on the cardiovascular system. I never stop about thinning the blood. I never stop talking about that. And if you don't have heart disease, guess what? After 50, I'll guarantee you you're 10 to 20% occluded. Most of you are in that 10 to 20% occlusion range, which by the time you're 80 means you're going to be up at the 40 to 50% on the low end. So no one's immune to this concern. Cardiovascular health, how clean are your arteries, is akin to what you know of gallbladder flushes. Everyone needs to flush the gallbladder. Everyone needs to flush the kidney. Everyone needs to flush the arterial system. The arterial flush. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Call the office. If you're lost in limbo, deluged by too many opinions, all of which seem conflicting, none of which really are conflicting, let me put it together for you. 714-850-1007. I've got two dynamos running my office. Very thankful for that on this Independence Day. Okay. Now, statin drugs, we said a word. Coumadin, we said a word. The plaque ruptures, and you've got big, big problems. Now, let's get to the fats. Picture number 10, the fats. I'm going to make a claim that one of the things you have to do is lower your cholesterol. That's right. Don't worry about cholesterol. Don't worry about it. Yeah, do worry about it. Lower it. If you've got plaque and you want to fix it, lower your cholesterol, not with statin drugs. Lower it. How do you lower it? Okay, let's understand it. There's low-density lipoproteins and high-density. You're looking at picture number 2 now, all right? Excuse me, picture 10. You're looking at picture number 10. You're looking at LDL and HDL and triglycerides, all of which equal total cholesterol. Those numbers added together. The LDLs are the bad cholesterol, right? You know that, the bad stuff. They have subcategories. We'll get to that. VDL, VDLD, and IDL. Here's the point. There's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. There's good fat and bad fat. The LDL is the bad one. Why? It's light enough. It's 50% fat. And it's light enough to stick to your arteries. It'll stick to your arteries. It can. That doesn't mean it will. Eskimos eat pounds of saturated fat and have clean arteries. Why? Because the LDL, their cholesterol's probably up at 400 all day. Who knows? The point is, just saturated fat, just high cholesterol does not cause the problem. But if you have, now you got to catch this, just high cholesterol is not the problem. But if you have plaque in the arteries, and you need to lower the plaque, you've got to lower the cholesterol. You got to. If your cholesterol's up there at 260, 300, don't think if you're plaqued that, oh, well, cholesterol's not the cause of the problem. Don't do that. That's where your medical doctors are correct. They're only half correct because the other half is you have to qualify that statement. Okay, now hold that. Do not get confused. Now hold that. Your LDLs, when they go up, that is not good. Your HDLs, it's a protein molecule so heavy it can't stick to the walls. The protein molecule, 50% of your HDL is protein, not fat. It's too heavy, high density, to stick to the arterial walls. Even if it could, it can't. That's the plaque, that's the oil, the fat, that cleans the LDLs off your arterial wall. So you can see that. First thing you got to do if you're plaqued is reduce your LDLs to what? To 140, 130, 120. Get them low. Low. The healthy way. And bring up your HDL. That's less less bad fat and more good fat. Check my other shows. Do your own internet thing, the thing you call research. Get on internet and look at bad fats and good fats. And don't quibble. Use your common sense. The point is, get under somebody's care. Ask your MD. Ask your nutritionist. Get up your HDLs, lower your LDLs. Guess what? The LDLs clean the bad plaque off the arterial walls. No such thing as plaque doesn't melt. If you're told plaque doesn't melt, you're being lied to. Plaque melts. But you have to bring down the cholesterol, the LDL, and bring up the HDL. First rule. Okay, now, second thing, look at picture 14. Classification of lipoproteins. You guys that love tests, I got lots of people, they love the tests. Great, test away. I can spend $2,000 of your money in a minute with tests. I love tests. Here's the classification of lipoproteins. It's not just LDL, it's IDL, it's VLDL. It's apolipoprotein B, it's apolipoprotein A, it's homocysteine. It's chylomicron remnants. It's all sorts of things that we classify as lipoprotein. And all this VLDL and IDL is, it's an even worse form of LDL. So when the doctor says, well, you know, your LDLs are kind of normal, but your VLDLs are high, and we got to bring down the VLDLs, he's right. The lower the density of the lipoprotein, the more likely it is to stick to the arterial wall. That's why we're breaking up LDL into these subcategories. Good, you understand that. The VLDLs are the worst ones, so when they do the more intricate cardiac profiles, and your VLDLs are high, even though your LDL is kind of normalish, and they say, I'm concerned, they should be, because the smaller the particle, the more likely it is, but not necessarily. By the time you plaque and rupture and die, or go to the knife, by the time you do that, a bunch of variables have coalesced into the worst perfect storm. That's, you see where you get it? The understanding. The understanding is where you get inspired. So we're talking about variables. So you've got the classifications there. You've also got another concern. You've also got homocysteine. Homocysteine. If we keep moving down the line here, did I put a little homocysteine? Well, I guess I left that out, and that's okay. Here it is. Picture 18. Homocysteine molecule, it's another marker. Oh my God, my homocysteine's high. The doctor said my homocysteine's high. Homocysteine can lead to heart disease. Yes and no. Take a supplement that fights the production of homocysteine because my homocysteine is high. Yes and no. Homocysteine is a marker that tends to damage the endothelial lining. It can lead to that damage that precipitates, that begins this cascade. But suppose your homocysteine's high, but you have no cholesterol. Your cholesterol is 100. You've got 7% body fat, no visceral fat. Your cholesterol is 100, but your homocysteine is high. It's tough to form plaque because you need the fat. Suppose your HDLs are high, your LDLs are low, but your homocysteine is high. You tell me. Tough to form plaque unless your LDLs are high. You see? You got to piece it together. You got to profile yourself out. So, we've got LDL concern, triglyceride concern. We've got homocysteine concern. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road, and here's why a lot of people, including myself, will say, in a sense, cholesterol doesn't matter. Just go ask a fat Eskimo. Here's the reason. Go to picture 16. Go to picture number 16. This is a chart that Ladd McNamara, it's on his site. He's a cardiologist, got a lot of opinions about how we have heart attacks. There's a whole new breed that should be listening to this show instead of pretending that they know what they're not practicing, which is common sense. If we look at the relationship between LDL and coronary artery disease, we're seeing, okay, that you've got disease in 63% of people who have LDL between 169 and 292, meaning if your LDL is between 170 and 300, basically, 60%, 63% of those people have some coronary artery disease. Now, you've got to compare this to something else. Go to picture 17. Picture 17. If you look at percentage of people with oxidized cholesterol, meaning LDL cholesterol, not between 160 and 300, between 80 and 160, meaning when you look at people whose cholesterol, but oxidized cholesterol, meaning free radical damaged LDL molecules, and you look at those numbers between 81 and 152, what we would normally call normal LDL readings. Normal LDL readings, where your cholesterol, your LDL, is mostly oxidized, even if it's as low as 80 to 160, you have 95% of those people with coronary artery disease. What it's pointing out is this. When somebody says LDL cholesterol is normal, let's say your LDL cholesterol is 160. If all of that is oxidized cholesterol, you have a massive chance of developing coronary artery disease. It means that your LDL cholesterol has been oxidized by free radicals in the blood. It means that you have to get a measurement of oxidized cholesterol. It means that when we do a cardiac profile and we measure LDL, we ought to be measuring oxidized LDL. Oxidized LDL. Okay, I know that half of you didn't follow that. And that's okay. That's why get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Get the subscription. Listen to it again. I can't do it in 60 minutes. But click to view the full article. Ladd McNamara, that's up at the top. I put his article up at the top. Oxidized LDL cholesterol is the best predictor of heart disease. If you're new to the show, go to the top and look at those two articles. Click to view full article. Ladd McNamara. Just click that and you'll see it. And at the top of that article, oxidized LDL is the best predictor of heart disease. Read that. Make your cardiologist get that measured. Who measures it? Go to picture 21. The LabCorp, major, major lab testing group. They'll give you an oxidized cholesterol measurement. Tell your cardiologist, measure this. When he says, I've never heard of it, it hasn't been studied, it hasn't been tell him, look, I pay, you do. Measure it. Done. Picture number 20, CMB Laboratories. They have a great one in West L.A. run by a woman named Edna. Wonderful, wonderful Filipino woman, runs a tight ship there. The CMB lab, they're all over the city, but in West L.A. on San Vicente, excellent lab. They'll run an oxidized cholesterol for you. If that's not good enough, find it yourself. Get on and do that internet search thing that everybody loves to do. Surf the web. But get oxidized cholesterol measured. So what are we basically saying? What we're basically saying is let's go back to picture number 9. Let's go back to picture number 9. Endothelial cell. That endothelial cell has to be damaged. Smoking damages it. Infection damages it. High insulin damages it. High blood sugar damages it. If the cholesterol in the blood, the LDL cholesterol that's light enough to stick to the inside, has been damaged, it's stickier, that will plaque, that will damage it. Anything under the name of oxidative stress, and I've done so many shows centering around that, will damage that endothelial wall. Once it's damaged, the macrophage, the monocyte follows it in, turns to a macrophage, turns to a foam cell, the war starts, and you start pushing out on the inside of the artery. When that ruptures, the blood gets too congested, it starts to clot, and you have a massive coronary. Or you're saved of that, and they do a bypass surgery. You're getting it now. You're getting it. Oxidized cholesterol, get it measured. Homocysteine, get it measured. Bring down your cholesterol. To remove that fat, you have to bring down your cholesterol. To remove that fat, you have to bring up the good. Now, let's get to a few other concepts here. There is an herb called Chanca Piedra. Picture 22, Chanca Piedra. Chanca Piedra will take off the calcific shells of plaque. That is what the research says. And I can tell you that's true. That does not mean you go out there and simply take that and go, I took Chanca Piedra. I'm going to check to see if my plaque levels. Right. While your cholesterol levels double, just take Chanca Piedra. That's where you make your mistake. I want to make sure everybody understands that. Do not go to an herb and not understand the comprehensive picture. Yeah, I will repeat this until everyone does it. That's the way it goes here. But Chanca Piedra, it will melt. 23, that's a picture of the plant. Now here's this product called cardiocytin. Garlic and hawthorn. Hawthorn strengthens the arterial system. It strengthens the heart. Garlic is a known garlic melts plaque. Done. Add it in. Throw it up. Coenzyme Q. Heart eats more of it than anything. Any good ubiquinol. And now there's new variants of that that are supposed to be much better. Knock yourself out. By and by the horde. Make your little herbal cardiac formula. Cayenne. My point, when you can get it from food, get it from food. If you can't get it from food, get it out of a capsule. If you have to get it out of a capsule, get it out of a good capsule. You can trust that cardiocyte and stuff. You can trust Whole World Botanicals. The point is, make your little cardiac cocktail. But understand something. You have to apply it to the mechanism at hand. If you don't understand the totality of it, well, you're helping yourself in one place, you're destroying yourself in the other place, and in the balance of trade, you're still going to lose. The fundamentals are what we leave out. All right, good. Good. There's niacin. Go to picture number 29. Niacin. Niacin vasodilates the arterial system. Cayenne vasodilates the arterial system. So if you've got your herbal cocktail and you're bringing your good fats up, how? Out of the capsule, sure. You take your good fats out of the capsule and you're all nifty. Let me tell you something about fats out of a bottle. They are extremely difficult. Extremely hard to prevent rancidity. If you can get that omega-3 from nuts, if you can get it from eggs, if you can get it from cheese, if you can get it from milk, if you can get it from fish, if you can get it from food. Spend your money on really good food and eat lots of really good food that's high in omega-3. Do that. Don't succumb to the notion of, well, it's tough to get it from food, so what we're going to do is we're going to give it to you in the bottle here. Do not do that if you can't. If you can avoid doing that, do not do that. That's a big point. Bring up your HDLs with really good food. Love herbs. Love herbs. Herbs are critical. We're going to tie a lot of things together in a moment. Herbally speaking. Picture number 30. There's the coronary calcium scan. It's a CT scan. Get one, especially if you have a tendency to calcify. Yeah, those lumps in your fingers, that calcium is the same calcium that plaques up your arteries. The lumps there. If you have glaucoma, that calcium is the same calcium that clogs your arteries. Anybody precipitating calcium hydroxyapatite, a precipitator of sorts. And I, an iridology, excuse me, that's part of a uric acid eye. What we call a uric acid eye will plaque up calcifically. Get that scan. Get the carotid ultrasound. Oh, Mrs. Smith, your carotids are plugged, but don't worry. We're not concerned about your heart. Of course you are. If your carotids are 50% plaqued, those coronary arteries are going to be plaqued too. Well, what test did they run? Nothing. We just used the lab markers. Big mistake. For different reasons, the coronary arteries may plaque slower than the carotids, but in the end, they'll be plaqued. And for different reasons, the coronary arteries may plaque faster than the carotids. So whether you stroke out or you have a heart attack, it's two sides of the same coin, both of which need to be profiled out through the tests. Picture 31, that's an arcus senilis. When you see someone with an eye like that, whether it's fatty or calcific plaque, something's going on. Trust that sign. Oh, my God, I saw that in someone's eye, and I told them, Joe, you're going to have a heart attack. Wrong. Wrong. Use that eye as an indicator that something's going on, and then create an intelligent profile. If you can understand the difference, you scored big. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007. If you want to put your head on straight about health, I'm going to get to a more important aspect of cardiac health, of melting plaque. You know how you melt plaque? You take your heart out every single day, you put it in a blender, and you spin it around at high speed, and then you take your heart out and you stuff it back in. You give yourself a bypass surgery every single day. That's right. The way to stop heart disease is to have bypass surgery every day. I'm going to give you an example of bypass surgery. Picture 32. Look at that young lady. I think it's a lady. You never know these days. Picture number 32. Look at picture number 32. You see that pose? It's called back bend. That arch should be in the thoracic spine, not in the lumbar spine. That pose is almost correct. There should be more bending through the thoracic spine, meaning up at the sternum. If you can pull your body open like that, you're going to massage those arteries. Oh, that's so simple, Medici. It's just so simple, it can't matter. Anybody knows that, sure. This is what I mean. It's right on the tip of your nose, and you're too busy doing an internet search on which herb will cure your disease. Don't do that. Picture number 34. There's the foam roller. That guy should have his arms over his head to stretch his pecs. He should have his arms over his head. You know why they don't do that? Because that makes the pose more intense, and they don't want you to hurt yourself. Under supervision, if necessary, learn a foam roller. Picture 34. There's a guy that's a little closer. He's got his arms over his head, but he's supporting his neck. Because if he lets his neck drop, he might kink his neck. And then if you could kink your neck, then you could get hurt, and you might be out 6 months. And that's the way we think. We live in fear of a couple of weeks of pain because we did something wrong, when in the long term we become paralyzed, and that fear is what creates the disease. Don't do that. Learn to use a foam roller. Point is, those three pictures, if you bend out the chest, then what happens is, now go to picture 36. Picture 36, you see that heart, that skin there, that silvery skin is connected to your diaphragm. When you breathe, go to picture 39. If you breathe diaphragmatically, as that diaphragm goes down, you're going to pull that shiny sheath and massage your heart. Diaphragmatic breath. I didn't say breathe deep. Check my show, my two or three shows on breath. I didn't say breathe deep. True diaphragmatic breath massages the heart. Yoga, if the pose is done correctly, massages the heart. If you really do your structural medicine correctly, you will massage the heart like taking it out and putting it in a blender every day. And that is as big as any nutritional thing anyone's ever going to tell you. It's so simple that you don't do it. Picture 43, The Stress of Life. How many times have I mentioned this book? And what was the point? The autonomic nervous system. Oh, I'm not stressed. You know, anytime somebody says to me, I'm not stressed, they're stressed. If you can't vasodilate through the parasympathetics, you just created what we call sudden cardiac death. That's a heart attack every year, and you have no plaque. Okay, I got you thinking. 714-850-1007. Happy 4th. Be glad you live in America. God bless you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.